Hey everyone, and welcome to the show. Have you ever imagined feeling like you're just functioning at your absolute best? Sharper, calmer, more in tune with yourself. That's the kind of transformation that some people are saying they're experiencing with microdosing. And that's what we're going to be diving into today with the self-help book, Microdosing for Health and Healing. If you're interested in picking up a copy, you can find the Amazon link in the episode description. And while you're at it, don't forget to like and subscribe. So this book really kind of challenges, I think, the preconceived notions that a lot of us might have about psychedelics. It's not about, these intense trips or altered states. It's about harnessing the power of these substances in a way that's really subtle, almost invisible, to unlock greater well-being potentially.
Okay, so let's unpack this a little bit. This book was co-written by James Fadiman, who's often called the father of modern microdosing, and Jordan Gruber, a former attorney and writer. And it's interesting because Fadiman has lived a very conventional life, right? He's been married for decades. He's a father. He's a professor. And it really does challenge the stereotype of who might be interested in psychedelics.
Yeah, exactly. It makes you realize that this is something that can really resonate with, people from all walks of life. So in this deep dive, we're going to be exploring the core concepts of microdosing, what it is, what it isn't, and we'll cover some of those safety and legal considerations that you need to be aware of. We'll also, kind of delve into the science behind it all, and we'll share some stories from real people who have, integrated microdosing into their lives.
And it's also important to note that we'll be looking at a range of conditions where microdosing has, shown potential, like everything from ADHD and depression to long COVID and chronic pain.
Exactly. So much to cover. But, first things first, what exactly is microdosing?
Well, microdosing involves taking a very small amount of a psychedelic substance, typically LSD or psilocybin mushrooms. But we're talking about a sub-threshold dose, so that means that it's below the level that would cause any noticeable psychedelic effects.
Hallucinations.
Exactly. Like hallucinations, you wouldn't feel high or trippy.
So no unicorns galloping through your living room.
The goal is to experience subtle but noticeable improvements in your day-to-day life. So maybe you feel a bit more focused, maybe a bit more creative, or maybe your mood is just slightly elevated.
So it's like giving your system like a gentle nudge in a positive direction.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Some people describe it as feeling like the best version of themselves.
I love that. Now, I know some people are probably curious about other substances used in microdosing. Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah, of course. So while LSD and psilocybin are the most common, some people do experiment with things like Amanita muscaria or San Pedro cactus. But it's really crucial to remember that, the legal status of all these substances varies widely, and it's really important to research the laws in your specific location.
Right, safety and legality first. Right. But getting back to the dosage, how much are we actually talking about when we say microdosing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So finding the right dose, your sweet spot is crucial, and it's very, very individual. It often depends on the substance, your own body chemistry, even just what you're hoping to achieve. It's generally recommended to start with a very, very low dose. So about 1/10 to 1/20 of a recreational dose, and then you gradually increase it until you kind of find what works best for you.
So start low and slow is like the mantra here.
Absolutely. It's always better to err on the side of caution.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, speaking of caution, let's talk about safety. What are some of the long-term effects that people should be aware of? I think that's a question that a lot of people have. Are there any risks involved?
Yeah, I mean, there are some potential risks, just like with any substance or practice that, affects your brain chemistry. One concern is the possibility of accidental overdoses, although this is quite rare with microdosing, especially with substances like LSD and psilocybin.
But still something to be aware of, right? That what should someone do if they, think they've taken too much?
Yeah, in that case, it's always best to err on the side of caution and seek medical attention, if you're concerned. It's also important to be aware of potential interactions with other medications. So if you're taking, any prescription drugs, it's definitely a good idea to talk to your doctor before trying microdosing.
Right. Makes sense. Now, I know some people might be skeptical and they might think, isn't this all just the placebo effect? Could it be that people are just expecting to feel better so they do?
Yeah, the role of the placebo effect is definitely a hot topic in the microdosing world, but research is starting to show that it might not be the whole story.
Recent studies have found that like microdosers often experience benefits that they weren't even anticipating,
Really?
like improved sleep or reduced inflammation.
Wow. So it's doing more than just tricking our minds into feeling better. Like there are actual changes happening.
Exactly. There's a growing body of research suggesting that even these like tiny doses can actually impact our brains and bodies in really profound ways. One key area is neuroplasticity.
Oh, okay.
So that's the brain's ability to like rewire itself and form new connections.
So microdosing could be helping our brains become more adaptable and flexible.
Yeah, that's the idea. And some research also suggests that, you know, psychedelics, even in those microdoses, might have anti-inflammatory effects,
Interesting.
which could explain some of the reported benefits for conditions like, you know, chronic pain. That's incredible. It sounds like there's a lot more going on than like meets the eye. So let's dive into, you know, some specific conditions where microdosing is showing promise. One that I know a lot of people are curious about is ADHD. How is microdosing being used to help people with this condition?
Yeah, there's a growing body of anecdotal evidence and some preliminary research suggesting that microdosing might help people, you know, manage their ADHD symptoms. People are reporting things like improvements in their focus and concentration, even their ability to like regulate their emotions.
And that's especially interesting because a lot of people with ADHD rely on medications like Adderall, which can have side effects. Could microdosing offer like a potential alternative?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a question that researchers are exploring, and it's too early to say for sure. But
Okay.
the initial reports are pretty promising.
Okay.
And it's not just ADHD, you know, we're also seeing positive results with depression.
Yeah, I've heard some really moving stories from people who've struggled with depression for years. You know, I'd have found like a sense of relief and even hope through microdosing.
Yeah, absolutely. People describe like a lift in their mood, like a renewed sense of motivation and a greater ability to like connect with others. Some even talk about feeling like, you know, their true selves again after years of just feeling lost in like the fog of depression,
Right.
you know?
That's really powerful. It's like microdosing is giving them back a part of themselves that they thought was gone.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just mental health conditions either. You know, we're also seeing incredible results with long COVID.
Really?
Yeah, people who haven't like found relief through conventional treatments are reporting significant improvements in their like energy levels, cognitive function, even their ability to breathe more easily.
Wow. That's remarkable. So it's like microdosing is helping their bodies to like kickstart the healing process in a way that nothing else has been able to do.
Yeah, it really is quite extraordinary. And we're seeing similar results with chronic pain. People who are dealing with conditions like fibromyalgia, arthritis, even chronic headaches are finding relief through microdosing.
Yeah.
Imagine finding a way to like manage your pain without, you know, having to rely on strong medications and all of their potential side effects.
That would be life-changing for so many people. But before we get like too carried away with all the potential benefits, let's take a moment to acknowledge, you know, the ethical dimension of this conversation.
Yeah, that's a really crucial point. You know, it's important to recognize and respect the, you know, long-standing traditions of indigenous cultures who have been using psychedelics for centuries, you know, often in ceremonial and spiritual contexts.
So how do we, you know, kind of navigate the modern microdosing movement with like sensitivity and respect for these traditions?
Well, you know, we need to be mindful of the potential for things like cultural appropriation and exploitation. We need to ensure that indigenous communities are consulted and, you know, benefit from this growing interest in psychedelics.
Right.
It's also essential to, you know, use respectful language and avoid like framing microdosing as a quick fix or a cure-all.
Right. It's about approaching this with humility and a willingness to learn, you know, from those who have come before us.
Yeah.
So, where do we go from here? What does the future hold for microdosing?
Well, you know, the popularity of microdosing is definitely on the rise, and it's, you know, unlikely to fade away anytime soon. We're seeing increased media coverage, more open conversations, and a growing demand for research and information.
And some are even predicting the emergence of like microdosing churches.
Yeah, that's right. The idea of like organized communities, you know, kind of centered around microdosing is gaining traction. It really speaks to the potential for, you know, microdosing to become more integrated into mainstream culture, potentially even as like part of, you know, spiritual exploration.
Wow, that's a fascinating thought. It'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds. But for now, let's recap some key takeaways from what we've discussed so far.
Yeah, okay.
First and foremost, Remember that microdosing is about those, you know, subtle, gradual improvements, not about getting high or having, you know, a psychedelic experience. It's about like potentially enhancing your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about being, you know, smart and safe. Start low, research thoroughly, and, you know, talk to your doctor if you have any concerns.
Yeah, absolutely. What are like some of the things that have stood out to you so far? What, you know, piqued your interest? One thing that really struck me was like the potential for microdosing to really help people reclaim their lives, you know, from these chronic conditions. Like the stories from, you know, long COVID and chronic pain sufferers are just, they're so powerful.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder if, you know, microdosing could be part of like a larger shift in how we view health and healing.
Yeah.
Kind of moving away from this one size fits all model to something that's more personalized.
Right.
Where, you know, individuals are empowered to kind of find what works best for them.
I think that's a key takeaway from this book. You know, it encourages us to be curious, to explore different possibilities, and to really listen to our own bodies.
It's about taking ownership of our well-being and recognizing that there's, you know, no single path to healing.
Exactly. And it's also about recognizing that, you know, interconnection between mind and body.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where the concept of set and setting comes in, which the authors really emphasize as being crucial for, you know, a positive microdosing experience.
Okay, I've heard that term before, but could you, you know, explain it for our listeners who might be new to this?
Yeah, of course. So set refers to your mindset going into the experience.
Okay.
So, you know, are you feeling anxious, stressed, hopeful? Your mindset can really significantly influence how you respond to the microdose.
So it's not just about like the substance itself, but about like the internal landscape that you're kind of bringing to the experience.
Exactly. And then there's setting that's, you know, like the physical environment,
correct,
the people you're surrounded by. You know, ideally you want to be in a place that's safe, comfortable, supportive, where you just feel relaxed and at ease.
So it's not about just like popping a tiny pill and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
It's about like creating an intentional space that really like supports your well-being.
Precisely. It's about approaching microdosing with a sense of, you know, reverence and respect. And, you know, this kind of brings us to another important aspect, which is integration. It's not enough to just, you know, have these microdosing experiences. You need to kind of weave those insights and benefits into your everyday life.
So it's about taking those subtle shifts in perception, mood, you know, energy, whatever, and like making them last.
Exactly. Integration is about making those changes stick. It might involve things like, you know, journaling about your experiences, meditating, talking to a therapist, or even just being more mindful of like your thoughts and behaviors.
Mm-hmm. So it's like microdosing is planting a seed, but it's up to you to like nurture that seed and help it grow.
That's a beautiful analogy. And, you know, that's where practices like mindfulness, journaling, or even therapy can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because they provide that like framework for, you know, processing your experiences and making those, you know, subtle shifts more conscious and lasting.
So it's about like integrating microdosing into like a holistic approach to well-being.
Right.
Mind, body, spirit, all working together.
Exactly. And it's also important to remember that this isn't like a one-size-fits-all approach, right?
Yeah.
The integration process is going to look different for everyone, and it's really about finding what works best for you.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, let's talk about like some of the specific benefits that people are, you know, experiencing with microdosing. We've talked about like mood and focus and, you know, creativity.
Huh.
But what are some other areas where people are kind of seeing positive changes?
Well, one area that's getting a lot of attention is the potential for microdosing to kind of enhance emotional regulation.
Okay.
So people are reporting things like feeling more emotionally balanced, less reactive to stress, and, you know, better equipped to just like navigate challenging situations.
So it's helping them to kind of develop like greater emotional resilience.
That's a great way to put it. And often, you know, this increased emotional awareness kind of translates into improvements in relationships.
Okay.
You know, people report feeling more empathy and compassion for others and, you know, being able to connect on a deeper level.
So it's not just about like individual well-being. It's about fostering like healthier and more fulfilling relationships as well.
Absolutely. You know, it's about creating this kind of like ripple effect of positive change that extends outward into our relationships and communities.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Now, what about energy levels? Because I've heard some people say that like microdosing gives them more energy.
Yeah.
And then others say they feel more calm and grounded.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we like make sense of these seemingly contradictory experiences?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, The effects on energy levels can really vary, you know, depending on the individual, the substance used, and even the dosage.
Okay.
You know, some people do experience an increase in like physical energy and motivation, while others describe like a shift in their mental or emotional energy, you know, like a sense of calmness or clarity.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all experience?
No, not at all. Oh. It's about finding, you know, the right dose and the substance that aligns with, like, your unique needs. And it's also important to remember that, you know, microdosing isn't a replacement for, like, healthy lifestyle choices.
Right.
Like getting enough sleep, exercising, eating a balanced diet. You know, it's about integrating microdosing into, like, a holistic approach to well-being.
Makes sense. Now let's talk about creativity, because that's, you know, an area where microdosing has gotten a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Particularly, you know, in fields like tech and art.
Mm-hmm.
So what's like the connection between microdosing and creativity from a scientific perspective?
Well, you know, research suggests that psychedelics, even in microdoses, can enhance cognitive flexibility and divergent thinking.
Okay. Can you break down those terms for our listeners?
Yeah. So like, cognitive flexibility is basically the ability to kind of shift between different perspectives.
Okay.
And adapt to changing situations. And then divergent thinking is the ability to generate like multiple ideas and solutions to a problem, like, you know, thinking outside the box.
So microdosing could be helping us like break free from those like rigid thought patterns and kind of explore new possibilities.
That's the idea. You know, it's about tapping into this like more fluid and expansive way of thinking.
I like that.
Which can be really beneficial for creative pursuit.
Right. It's like giving our brains permission to play and explore, you know.
Yeah.
Now let's address like the elephant in the room, legality. We touched on this a little bit earlier, but it's a topic that deserves, you know, further exploration. So what's like the current legal landscape surrounding microdosing?
Well, unfortunately, you know, the legal status of psychedelics varies widely around the world. You know, in most countries, substances like LSD and psilocybin mushrooms are still classified as, you know, illegal drugs. However, there's a growing movement to, like, decriminalize and even legalize these substances, you know, for therapeutic and personal use.
Yeah, it's a really complex issue, and it's definitely important for our listeners to be aware of, like, you know, the laws in their specific location.
Yeah.
But even in places where, you know, psychedelics are decriminalized, there might still be like restrictions on, you know, possession, distribution, and use.
Yeah, that's a really important point. You know, staying informed and making responsible choices is absolutely crucial.
Absolutely. Speaking of responsible choices, let's talk about sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
So someone's interested in microdosing. Like, where do they begin to even find these substances?
Well, that's a question that requires, you know, really careful consideration. You know, in some places, there are legal channels for obtaining, like, psychedelic substances, you know, maybe for research purposes or therapeutic purposes. Mm. But in a lot of cases, people turn to, like, underground networks or online sources.
And that can be kind of risky, right? Like, you don't always know what you're getting.
Exactly, you know. Yeah. It's really crucial to be discerning, do your research, and be aware of, like, the potential for scams or, you know, adulterated substances.
Right. And what about, like, sourcing from nature? I know some people are interested in, like, foraging for mushrooms, for example.
Yeah, that can be incredibly risky, especially with mushrooms. It requires, like, expert knowledge and identification skills to avoid potentially harmful or even deadly mistakes.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, safety first, always.
Always.
Okay, so while we've been focusing on, like, the potential benefits of microdosing, it's, you know, crucial to acknowledge that there can be downsides, too.
Mm.
This isn't, like, a magic bullet, and it's not for everyone.
You're absolutely right. You know, while a lot of people report positive experiences, it's really important to be aware of, like, the potential challenges as well. One common concern is the possibility of experiencing, you know, unwanted side effects.
Even with low doses?
Yeah, even with low doses.
Why?
You know, these can include things like anxiety, headaches, maybe digestive issues. It's really important to, like, listen to your body and adjust your dosage or protocol accordingly.
And for some people, microdosing might not be suitable at all, right?
Right.
We talked earlier about those with, like, you know, predisposition to mental health conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But are there, like, other situations where it's not recommended?
Yeah, you know, individuals with certain medical conditions, especially those affecting the heart or liver, they should exercise extreme caution.
Okay.
And consult with, you know, a healthcare professional before even considering microdosing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, pregnancy and breastfeeding are also times when, you know, microdosing is generally not recommended.
Right. It's all about prioritizing safety. Now, another potential challenge is like the impact on sleep. Some people say that microdosing like helps them sleep better, while others experience, disruptions. So how do we explain that?
Yeah, the effects on sleep can really vary, depending on the individual, the substance used, even the timing of the dose. Some people find that like microdosing in the morning actually leads to better sleep later that night, while others might experience like insomnia or vivid
So it's
dreams.
about paying attention to your individual response and like adjusting accordingly.
Exactly. Experimentation and self-awareness are really key. And if you're experiencing like persistent sleep disruptions, it's always wise to, consult with a healthcare professional.
Makes sense. Now let's talk about tolerance, because we know that with, regular use of psychedelics, you can build up a tolerance, meaning you need like higher doses to achieve the same effects. So does that apply to microdosing as well?
Well, that's a question that researchers are still exploring, and the evidence is kind of mixed. Some studies suggest that like microdosing, especially with regular days off, might not lead to significant tolerance buildup. However, it's still a possibility,
Okay.
and it's important to be mindful of, your usage patterns.
So even with microdosing, it's not about like taking it every single day.
No.
Like those breaks are crucial.
Absolutely. Incorporating, regular days or even weeks off into your like microdosing protocol can really help to mitigate that risk of tolerance and just ensure that, the practice remains sustainable and beneficial.
So let's dive back into some specific conditions where, microdosing is showing promise. We talked about ADHD, depression, but let's explore some other areas. So one condition that's getting a lot of attention is long COVID. We're hearing from people who are like struggling with debilitating long COVID symptoms, things like fatigue, brain fog, shortness of breath, and they're finding relief through microdosing. It's like it seems like microdosing is helping to kind of rebalance their systems and support the body's like natural healing processes.
It's giving hope to those people who've kind of felt like lost and hopeless in their, search for relief.
That's incredible. It offers so much hope for, those who have felt lost. Another area with promising like anecdotal reports is chronic pain. People who are dealing with conditions like fibromyalgia, arthritis, and even migraines are, sharing their experiences of finding pain relief through microdosing.
Yeah, and it's almost like microdosing is helping to like interrupt those pain signals and rewire like the brain's perception of pain.
That's a fascinating possibility. And this is an area that like desperately needs more research because, traditional pain management approaches often come with a whole host of side effects and limitations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now let's talk about women's health. There's growing interest in microdosing's potential to address, conditions like PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder. So what are we learning from women who, kind of incorporate microdosing into their menstrual cycles?
Yeah, we're hearing some amazing stories from women who've like really struggled with debilitating PMDD symptoms, things like severe mood swings, irritability, anxiety, even suicidal thoughts. Some describe microdosing as like life-changing. They report a significant reduction in their symptoms and this new sense of control over their cycles.
It's so empowering. It's like microdosing is giving them back that sense of like agency and ownership over their bodies and their well-being.
Yeah, it really is remarkable. And this is just one example of how, microdosing is being explored to kind of address, women's unique health challenges. There's like growing interest in its potential to help with things like menopause and postpartum depression, too.
Yeah, it's like opening up like this whole new frontier in women's health and well-being, kind of moving beyond those like limitations of the more traditional approaches. Now, let's talk about like the potential impact of microdosing on addiction, because there's like anecdotal evidence suggesting it might actually help people overcome, addictions like the alcohol, nicotine, even opioids. So what's like the science behind that connection?
Well, while research in this area is still, pretty limited, there are a few kind of key mechanisms that might explain how microdosing could, support addiction recovery. First, psychedelics, even in microdoses, can increase neuroplasticity. So potentially that could help to like rewire the brain's reward pathways and reduce cravings.
So it's like microdosing is helping to break those like, deeply ingrained patterns of addiction and kind of create new healthier neural pathways.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it. And second, microdosing can enhance, self-awareness and emotional regulation, which can be really crucial in like addressing the underlying emotional and psychological factors that often contribute to addiction.
Right. It's about getting to the root of the problem, kind of understanding the why behind the addiction and empowering those individuals to like make those lasting changes.
Exactly. And that's where, the integration work becomes so essential. Therapy, support groups, lifestyle changes, all of these things kind of contribute to that holistic framework for recovery.
Yeah, for sure. Now let's delve a little bit deeper into like the science behind microdosing. We've mentioned, neuroplasticity, but what other like key mechanisms are at play?
Well, one area that's gaining a lot of attention is the role of the default mode network, or DMN.
I have to admit, I'm not familiar with that term. Can you explain it for our listeners?
Yeah, of course. So imagine your brain as like this bustling city with different neighborhoods. The default mode network is kind of like the downtown area. It's like active when your mind is like, wandering, daydreaming, or lost in thought. It's associated with our sense of self, our memories, and, planning for the future.
So it's like the chatterbox of our brains, constantly replaying the past or worrying about the future.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Research suggests that psychedelics, even in microdoses, can temporarily kind of quiet down the DMN,
Interesting.
allowing for like a greater sense of, presence and connection, and even a reduction in negative self-talk.
So it's like microdosing gives our brains like a break from all that mental chatter and allows us to kind of experience the world with fresh eyes.
Beautifully put. And this shift in brain activity might also explain some of the like other benefits of microdosing, like increased creativity and reduced anxiety.
So it's like accessing a different mode of being, like a state of greater awareness and openness.
Exactly. It's a fascinating area of research, and as we learn more about like the interplay between microdosing and the brain, we'll likely gain even deeper insights into its potential benefits and applications.
For sure. Now let's address the question of placebo, because some skeptics might argue that like the positive effects that people report from microdosing are simply due to like the power of suggestion. So how do we kind of respond to that criticism?
Well, it's a valid question, and researchers are actively exploring, that interplay between placebo and, like the pharmacological effects of microdosing. While placebo definitely plays a role in like any healing modality, evidence suggests that microdosing is doing more than just tricking our minds.
So it's not just about like the power of belief, that there are actual like physiological changes happening.
Right, exactly. Studies show that microdosing can actually lead to like measurable changes in brain activity, neurotransmitter levels, and even inflammatory markers.
So there's like a real biological basis for the benefits that people are experiencing.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that, even if placebo is involved, it doesn't diminish the value of those positive effects. Harnessing the power of the placebo effect is a valid and valuable tool in healing.
Right. It's about recognizing that like intricate connection between mind and body and embracing all the factors that contribute to well-being.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about like the practical side of microdosing. Where does someone even begin if they're like curious about trying it out?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've talked about, the importance of researching legality and sourcing, but what about the actual process? Like, what are some like key things to keep in mind?
Well, the first and most important principle is, start low and slow. Begin with a very small dose and gradually increase it, until you find your what we call your sweet spot. So that's the dosage that provides, noticeable benefits without like, overwhelming or disruptive effects.
And finding that sweet spot can vary from person to person.
Absolutely. It's about paying attention to your individual response.
Yeah.
It's also crucial to like choose a reputable source, for your microdosing substance. Safety and quality should always be top priorities.
Yeah, and if someone's unsure about sourcing, it's always a good idea to like consult with a trusted healthcare professional or even a microdosing coach. Someone who can kind of offer some guidance there.
That's a great suggestion. Now let's talk about, protocols. So like the different ways that people approach microdosing. What are some of the common approaches out there?
Well, I've heard about like the Fadiman protocol. Can you explain that one?
Yeah, so the Fadiman protocol, developed by Dr. James Fadiman, is one of the most, popular and well-researched microdosing protocols.
Okay.
It involves taking a microdose every third day.
Okay.
So, like, allowing for 2 days off between doses.
And those days off are crucial for like preventing tolerance buildups, right?
Exactly. The Fadiman protocol was designed to kind of like minimize that risk of tolerance
Okay.
while still providing consistent benefit.
So it's about finding that balance between like consistency, but also giving your body like a break.
Exactly. And there are like other protocols out there. There's the Stamets stack, which combines microdoses of psilocybin with lion's mane mushroom and niacin,
Oh, wow.
which are believed to have like synergistic effects on, cognitive function and neurogenesis. And then there are also protocols that are tailored for like specific conditions,
Okay.
like chronic pain or PMDD.
So it's about exploring, different options and finding like what resonates with your individual needs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Remember, protocols are just guidelines, and you might need to adjust them, based on your own personal response and experiences.
Okay, so let's revisit the importance of integration. We've touched upon this before, but it's a crucial aspect of microdosing that really deserves further exploration. So what does it really mean to integrate the microdosing experience into like our everyday lives?
Well, integration is about like taking the insights and awareness, the shifts in perspective that we gain from microdosing
Yeah.
and weaving them into like our everyday routines. It's about making, those changes to our habits, our behaviors, even our thought patterns, stick.
So it's not just about like those microdosing days, it's about carrying those benefits into, the rest of our lives.
Precisely. Microdosing can be this like catalyst for personal growth and transformation, but it's really up to each individual to, integrate those shifts and make them last.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's where like, practices like journaling, meditation, or even therapy can play a significant role, right?
Absolutely. These practices offer like a framework for, processing our experiences, gaining deeper insights, and turning those, subtle shifts into like concrete positive changes.
So it's about weaving microdosing into like this holistic approach to well-being,
Right.
mind, body, and spirit working in harmony.
Exactly. It's about, creating a synergy between, various practices and modalities that support, our overall well-being.
Love it. Now let's turn our attention to some potential risks associated with microdosing. While we've highlighted a lot of the benefits, it's really crucial to acknowledge, that there are risks involved, just like with any substance that alters our brain chemistry.
Absolutely, that's a crucial point. While microdosing is generally considered safe when it's, practiced responsibly, there are some potential risks to be aware of. And one concern is the possibility of experiencing unwanted side effects, even with those low doses.
So even though we're talking about, sub-perceptual doses,
Yeah.
there's still a chance of experiencing, effects that aren't necessarily pleasant.
Exactly. These can manifest as, things like anxiety, headaches, maybe digestive issues or even changes in your sleep patterns. It's essential to listen to your body and adjust your dosage or protocol accordingly.
And being mindful of like, pre-existing medical conditions or medications that you're taking.
Yeah.
It's crucial too, because there could be like potential interactions there.
Absolutely. It's, always wise to consult a healthcare professional if you have any concerns.
Yeah.
Another risk to consider is the potential for like psychological distress. While microdosing can be, beneficial for mental health, it can also like trigger or worsen underlying mental health conditions,
Okay.
especially for individuals who are, predisposed to, conditions like psychosis or bipolar disorder.
Right. So it's not a risk-free practice,
No.
and approaching it with like caution and self-awareness is essential.
Precisely. And it's also worth remembering that, the long-term effects of microdosing are still largely unknown. We're just beginning to really grasp the potential impact of like regular long-term use on the brain and body.
Right. It's a journey of exploration and discovery, but one that requires responsibility
Yes.
and a willingness to like stay informed as new research emerges.
Absolutely. Now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the future of microdosing. What are some like emerging trends and developments that we're seeing in this like rapidly evolving field?
Well, one trend that's really gaining momentum is the increasing interest in like microdosing retreats and guided experiences. People are seeking out these like structured environments.
Yeah.
And expert guidance to kind of support their microdosing journey.
That's fascinating. It speaks to like a desire for like a more intentional and supportive approach to microdosing. You know, like moving beyond that, like self-experimentation.
Right. It's creating that space for community and connection, like a shared experience that can kind of enhance, you know, the healing and transformative potential of microdosing.
Absolutely. Another trend is like the rise of microdosing coaches.
Okay.
So these are individuals who are providing, you know, personalized support and guidance.
Okay.
To help people navigate all the like complexities of microdosing.
So it's like having a trusted guide to kind of accompany you on this journey of exploration and discovery.
Exactly. You know, microdosing coaches can offer like, you know, valuable insights, personalized protocols and support with, you know, that crucial integration work. And we can't forget about, you know, the ongoing research in this field.
Yeah.
There's like a growing body of, you know, scientific inquiry that's exploring, you know, the mechanisms and potential applications of microdosing.
And as the stigma surrounding psychedelics kind of continues to fade, you know, more funding and resources are being directed toward research, which is leading to, you know, a deeper understanding of how microdosing works and the conditions it might, you know, benefit.
That's right. It's a really exciting time to be following this field. You know, there's so much potential for growth and discovery.
Yeah, absolutely. And as research expands, we're likely to see like even more, you know, innovative applications of microdosing in health, well-being, and human potential.
Absolutely. Now, you know, let's address those ethical considerations surrounding microdosing. We talked about this, you know, a bit earlier in terms of like indigenous knowledge and practices, but what other ethical dilemmas do we need to be kind of mindful of?
Yeah, that's a really important question. You know, as microdosing gains popularity, we need to be, you know, vigilant about like potential exploitation.
Yeah.
You know, some companies or individuals might try to like capitalize on this trend without prioritizing, you know, the safety, ethical sourcing, or the well-being of users.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's crucial to be discerning and to support, you know, companies and practitioners who, you know, align with our values and prioritize ethical practices.
Absolutely. And, you know, another ethical concern is the potential for microdosing to be misused as like a performance enhancer or a quick fix for like deep-seated issues.
Yeah, that's a valid point. It's vital to remember that microdosing is a tool, and like any tool, it can be used for, you know, good or ill.
It's about approaching microdosing with like, you know, intention, mindfulness, and a commitment to like personal growth, not seeking a quick fix or an advantage over others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, you know, let's talk a little bit about like the challenges and limitations of like the current research on microdosing. You know, why is it so difficult to like conduct rigorous scientific studies in this area?
Yeah, it seems like kind of a catch-22, right?
Yeah.
We need more research to really understand, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of incredible to think about like the ripple effects microdosing could have on society as a whole.
Yeah.
Like what if we could tap into this collective wellspring of, you know, creativity, empathy, and connection? It's almost like glimpsing like a more harmonious future.
Yeah, it's a beautiful vision and one that, you know, microdosing might help us realize. But, you know, as with any emerging field, we need to proceed with like, you know, a balanced perspective, acknowledging both like the potential and the unknowns.
Absolutely. It's not about viewing microdosing as like a cure-all.
Right.
Or a replacement for traditional therapies or, you know, even just healthy lifestyle choices.
Exactly. It's about, like you said, integrating it into like a broader approach to well-being, recognizing that it's one tool among many.
Yeah. And as we, you know, kind of continue to learn and evolve our understanding of microdosing, it's crucial to have, you know, these open and honest conversations about like its implications, you know, for different aspects of society beyond just, you know, personal health.
Right.
Like what about the potential role of microdosing in areas like, you know, education or business or even politics?
Yeah.
Could it like reshape how we approach, you know, things like learning or innovation and leadership?
It's fascinating to contemplate, you know, imagine like classrooms where students are like, you know, supported in exploring their creative potential.
Right.
Or, you know, boardrooms where collaboration and innovation, you know, kind of flow more freely. It's almost like opening like a Pandora's box of possibilities.
Yeah. And while those scenarios might seem kind of futuristic, you know, it's not inconceivable that microdosing could actually play a role in, you know, shaping the future of these fields.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, as with any powerful tool, we need to consider, like, you know, the ethical implications. So, like, how do we ensure, you know, responsible and ethical use of microdosing in these contexts?
That's a really crucial question. You know, open dialogues, clear guidelines, and really prioritizing, like, safety and well-being, those are paramount. You know, we need to navigate these uncharted waters really thoughtfully and collaboratively.
Yeah, it's about approaching microdosing with this, like, deep sense of responsibility and respect for, you know, its potential impact on individuals, but also, you know, society as a whole.
Absolutely. And recognizing that, you know, like any substance that can alter our brain chemistry, there's potential for misuse or abuse.
Right.
We need to be mindful of that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about, like, the broader societal shifts that, you know, are kind of needed for microdosing to be, you know, more widely accepted and integrated. We've talked about, you know, that lingering stigma around psychedelics, but, you know, what other barriers do we need to overcome?
Well, you know, education and understanding are key. A lot of people still hold these, like, outdated perceptions of psychedelics, you know, that are based on, like, you know, misconceptions or, like, the counterculture movement of the past. It's about moving beyond those stereotypes and embracing a more nuanced and informed perspective.
It's about shifting the narrative from, like, you know, fear and misunderstanding to curiosity and open-mindedness.
Exactly. And another barrier is just, like, you know, the fear of the unknown. Microdosing is a relatively new phenomenon.
Yeah.
And we still don't fully understand, like, you know, the long-term effects and how it impacts, you know, different individuals.
Yeah, it's natural for people to be hesitant about something unfamiliar, especially, you know, when it comes to something as powerful as psychedelics. But, you know, hopefully, as research progresses,
right,
and as more people share their experiences, you know, hopefully that fear will kind of diminish.
Yeah, I think open sharing and like honest conversations, you know, are so crucial to normalizing the conversation around microdosing.
Absolutely, and ultimately comes down to personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, individuals need to be empowered to make those informed choices,
right,
and approach microdosing with a sense of responsibility and self-awareness.
Here are some things to kind of keep in mind. You know, microdosing is a personal choice, and it's not for everyone. It's, you know, essential to respect, you know, individual decisions and boundaries. You know, if you're struggling with mental health issues, seeking guidance from, you know, a qualified healthcare professional is paramount. Microdosing is not a substitute for your professional help. You know, approach microdosing with caution and mindfulness, starting with, you know, a low dose, paying attention to your body's signals and adjusting your protocol as needed. And, you know, embrace microdosing as a journey of self-discovery. You know, be patient, be curious, and be open to unexpected outcomes.
Those are such excellent points. You know, it's about honoring that individual journey. And making choices that align with your own values and well-being.
Exactly. And remembering that microdosing is just one piece of the puzzle when it comes to, you know, living a fulfilling and meaningful life.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about, like, you know, resources and support systems for those who are, you know, kind of interested in exploring microdosing. Like, where can they find, you know, reliable information, connect with others, you know, find guidance?
Well, there's, you know, a wealth of online resources, you know, websites, forums, social media groups, all dedicated to microdosing.
Okay.
That offer, like, you know, valuable information, shared experiences, and a sense of community.
It's amazing how, like, technology can connect people with shared interests and kind of create, you know, these virtual communities.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are also, like, microdosing coaches.
Yes.
And practitioners who, you know, can provide that personalized guidance and support.
That's right. You know, these individuals can be invaluable in helping people, you know, navigate those complexities, develop personalized protocols, and you know, support them with that crucial integration work.
And it's important not to, like, underestimate the power of, like, you know, real life connections.
Yeah.
Like, microdosing meetups and workshops are springing up in cities all over the world.
Yeah.
And they offer, like, you know, these spaces for shared learning, connection, and support.
You know, building a community around this practice can be really empowering, like a network of individuals who are all, you know, exploring this new frontier in well-being together.
Yeah, it's a testament to the the growing interest in microdosing and the desire to, you know, connect and learn from one another.
Absolutely. And as the movement gains momentum, you know, we'll likely see even more resources and support systems emerging to kind of meet, you know, the evolving needs of individuals and communities.
It's truly an exciting time to be part of this wave of exploration and discovery.
It is.
You know, we're witnessing this paradigm shift in our understanding of health, well-being, and human potential. And as we conclude this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with this thought. Microdosing is more than just like a practice. It's a movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movement toward, like, you know, greater self-awareness, deeper connection, and you know, a more expansive vision of what's possible.
Beautifully said. It's a movement that challenges the status quo and invites us to explore, you know, these new frontiers in health, well-being, and human potential.
And it's a movement that's just getting started.
So let's, you know, keep exploring.
Yes.
Keep learning. Keep supporting each other on this incredible journey.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of microdosing. We hope you found it, you know, informative and insightful.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear your thoughts and questions and even your own experiences, you know, with microdosing in the comments below.
Yeah, sure. You know, share what resonated with you the most. And until next time, you know, stay curious and keep exploring.